This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. The Senate returns to work next week, and at the top of its agenda, overhauling financial regulations. At the heart of the effort is putting an end to government bailouts of big banks and financial institutions. But as NPR's Jen Itzde reports, it's unclear if the proposals under consideration will do the job.
There's no shortage of demands from taxpayers to end bailouts like those for AIG, Citigroup, and the other big banks.
Why can't we let the big banks fail and take their lumps?
I would like to see some checks and balances, you know, all the money we're giving to the banks. No, let them fail.
Wall Street and the bankers and the government bailing them out like they're too big to fail. So somebody's got to stick up for the little guy.
Those were two callers from NPR's Talk of the Nation, Bruce and Paul, and between them, Sandra Morris at a Tea Party rally near Dallas. Politicians, of course, are vowing never again. Here's Senate Banking Committee Chairman Christopher Dodd, a Democrat from Connecticut.
Never again should the American taxpayer be asked to write a check because of an implicit guarantee that the federal government will bail out a company when it collapses.
Senator Dodd's bill would try to end too big to fail by using a number of tools. Most important, it would penalize financial firms that get too big by requiring them to hold more capital. Economist Charles Kalamiris of Columbia University explains.
It's a buffer. It's something that absorbs loss. That's the main function of capital.
So having more capital makes firms less likely to fail. Lots of economists support this approach, including Harvard's Ken Rogoff. But Rogoff is troubled that Congress is apparently going to leave it to regulators to decide just how much capital big banks need to set aside.
I've spoken to a number of people in the financial industry who are very pleased that it's all being left to the regulators, partly because they think they'll end up being less than if Congress were to force it in now.
The proposal also sets out a new process for shutting down big failing firms. The Fed chairman, the Treasury secretary, and the head of the FDIC would together decide when a firm should be put into bankruptcy. Their action would be reviewed by a panel of three bankruptcy judges. If necessary, the FDIC would be in charge of breaking up the firm and selling its assets. Shareholders could be wiped out, and creditors could also take a hit. To protect taxpayers, big financial firms would be taxed to create a permanent $50 billion fund that could be used by the FDIC to wind down big failing firms. But Charles Kalamiris thinks the process would encourage bailouts, not end them.
Because it takes all of the apparent losses away from being borne by the taxpayers, it makes bailouts much more likely.
If it appears the industry is paying the cost, says Kalamiris, government officials will be much more likely to shut down troubled firms. But he says taxpayers will still bear the losses indirectly because the big firms paying into the resolution fund will just pass on that cost to their customers. Republicans especially share this concern. Kalamiris argues this issue could be largely resolved by taxing big banks to pay for bailouts after they occur rather than before. That would give bankers an incentive to lobby against unnecessary bailouts, he says. But Ken Rogoff, who's a former chief economist at the IMF, says that idea is flawed.
The classic problem with taxing banks after the crisis is you can only tax the healthy ones. So the sick ones don't have any money, and the healthy ones are typically in trouble.
In Rogoff's view, the Dodd proposal isn't perfect, but is headed in the right direction. Another former IMF chief economist disagrees. Simon Johnson, who's written a new book on the crisis called 13 Bankers, thinks more radical action is required.
We can't cut our biggest firms down to a more reasonable size, a size at which they can fail, then we will not make any progress at all on this issue.
Despite the industry's arguments, Johnson says there's no evidence that allowing banks to grow ever larger is good for the economy.
It's good for the bankers who run the banks. They get bigger bonuses. They have more glorious empires. It does not benefit society, and it shouldn't be allowed.
Johnson argues that if new legislation does not cap the size of big banks, a repeat of the wrenching crisis we've just experienced is inevitable. John Itzde, NPR News, Washington.